tell me a little bit about the tour that you did of the detention facilities in Texas, which ones you saw, and you know, how much time you spent in each one?
I visited maybe six towns in Texas, from big facilities like the U.S. Marshal Service facility in Laredo to smaller ones, the one north of Laredo in Encinal, ones that are owned by GEO in down in Del Rio, and the one at Sierra Blanca, the Pecos prison, which I've concentrated on, that's a Bureau of Prisons facility in Pecos. Altogether, about half a dozen in South and West Texas. And no, that they're not different. What I saw was a pattern, creation of new, particularly new U.S. Marshal Service facilities for immigrants. Most people, when they think of immigrant detention, think of the facilities that are established by the Department of Homeland Security through its agency, Immigration Customs Enforcement. But most of the places that I looked at were Bureau of Prisons facilities or U.S. Marshal Service. And that's because of what we were talking earlier, the criminal alien program. Major increase in immigrants who are not just detained and deported by ICE, but prior to that process go through U.S. Marshal Service, where they're held for pre-trial, pre-sentencing detention, and then on to the Bureau of Prisons. Over the last year and a half, I've gained a better sense of that, but I can't say that I really fully understand it. It's so bizarre, so such a labyrinth that I'm still working on that. And my focus all along has been on trying to understand the U.S. Marshal Service and Bureau of Prisons, because there's been very little information and analysis about that part of immigrant imprisonment. Most of the attention has been on Homeland Security and ICE. And indeed, the U.S. Marshal Service and Bureau of Prisons is a vast system of immigrant imprisonment. There's, at any one time, that there are more immigrants in, held in segregated facilities for immigrants by the U.S. Marshal Service and the Bureau of Prisons than ICE has, for example.
You mentioned before the Pecos facility, and we were talking about some of the ones that you visited, and you talked a lot about in your report about the conditions there and what contributed to the death of a detainee there and the subsequent riots. Could you talk a little bit about conditions you saw in some of the other facilities and whether those were similar or better or worse?
In each case that I've asked to have some sort of tour to speak to someone, that I've been denied, and it's interesting, even in the whole process of denial, one learns about how difficult it is to find information about them, because you, in the case and all of the prisons, that you go to, say, the one in Otero County in near El Paso, there are two prisons there, and they're both operated by Management Training Corporation. And you go to the one that is an ICE facility, and you talk to the warden. And the warden didn't even know himself that the prison that he manages, the detention center that he operates, is really owned by the county and not the corporation for which he works. But asking him to visit this facility, he did know enough to say that, well, I can't give you permission. You're going to have to talk to ICE in Washington about that, to get permission to go beyond just talking to the management. I talked to the warden and the assistant warden, and that's in all the places that I visited. That's as far as I got. One gets a sense of that the prisoners or detainees as being commodities from talking to the county commissioner's courts, the county judges, and hearing or going to some of their meetings in various states, that they're mainly looking at them as ways of sources of income, and they will have, like in Pecos, discussions over the cost of tortillas, and that we can't, the cost of tortillas are going up, but we can't continue to do this because we're going to be taking it out of the county budget. So that the amount of money that they're spending on the prisons, they see as something that's coming out of the money that should be going to their constituents, so that there is this balance that goes on, and the inmates inevitably suffer because of that.
A lot of these towns expected that the prisons, having them located there, would bring jobs, would bring income to the community, it'd be a financial windfall, but what impact did you really find that those facilities have had in terms of finances in these small towns?
Well, it's hard to generalize other than that nowhere have the prisons or detention centers become a motor of economic development, and that's been the promise of the prison consulting teams that come on. Not only will they provide some income into the county or the cities that sign the contract. As I look at this problem, I see that the issue of immigrant detention, immigrant imprisonment, is not too distant from the problems, the systemic problems of our criminal justice system, and the way we just deal with problems in our society through detention and imprisonment, that we are treating immigrants in many ways the same way we treat ourselves, of imprisoning the portions of our population that we consider problems, or because we want to contain those problems, prevent those problems from spreading, and that's the same way we're dealing with immigrants. It's a very costly process. For ICE, we're talking over $2 billion a year for the detention of prisoners. When you add U.S. Marshal Service and Bureau of Prisons, you're talking about $4 billion just to put people behind these barbed wires for a lengthy period of time, and that $4 billion is distributed mainly to private prison corporations, with a very small percentage going to these local counties. As we look at the issue of immigration policy, we can't separate it from our criminal justice system and how much it cost us and how much injustice really it creates by putting so many people behind these fences at such a large cost, at such a human cost.